Do not adjust your radio dial. You are tuned in to the Mark Order Podcast. Join the Mark Order.
Hello, 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 hello. It is Wednesday night, so you know what that means. It means a hard cut of the music, and it means it is the Mark Order Podcast. And if you're listening once again and saying, I know that's not Kate. I mean, by this point, it can't be Kate. Well, you're right, because she is running from the grind. She's off grinding with someone else. So that is where she is tonight. But I am actually joined by a co-host who is here. And that would be Asian Joe. How you doing, Joe?
Yeah, I showed up. Look at that.
You showed up.
I showed up, yes. I am recovering from a cold or something like that. But other than that, I'm doing well.
I still like showed up. I'm going to stick with it. Saying hi to the chat. Hey, Taylor. Hey, Fernando. Anthony. Big G. Lord Kev. Yeah, Kev. She's over being sour. We understand when Fightful comes a call and she has to answer, we're just not as cool.
I wasn't here last week, so how are you, Ryan? I kind of missed you.
Did you really, though?
A little bit.
Evening, Scott. I'm good, though. You know, still celebrating a little bit of...
I'll move on.
Eagles. No, you can't. When your team wins one, you can never move on.
You get a day to celebrate, and then you move on to next year. It's like you just...
No, that's what teams who didn't win get say. Teams who won say, you get till next. And you weren't here last week for me to rub it in, so I can't. Yeah.
I don't want to be anywhere around you when you're rubbing things in.
I have a joke there, but I'm not going to say it. But how are you? You were the one who was sick. As he coughs.
Yeah, you say that and I started coughing. I'm fine, I think. My cough has subsided. So, fingers crossed. This is what happens when you have a weekend with a Super Bowl party and also a friend's 2-year-old birthday party. So, little kids running around plus other people sharing, you know, chips, dip, and tailgate food is a recipe for respiratory illness.
Yeah, you get, kids are just petri dishes of illness.
Yeah, nothing worse than being sick from other people's kids.
Well, I think you're like me. That's the only way you can get sick from kids. I know I'll go weeks without feeling, I'll go weeks or months fine, and then I'll see someone's, like my nephews or nieces, and be like, oh, now you're sick. You son of a...
If you get bird flu, though, Ryan, then I have questions.
Well, the call. Nah, it's killing my eggs.
I know. Have to save money up for eggs now.
No. And I mean, I think we should just go around and kill all the bird flus. I don't know. Did you watch AEW Grand Slam?
I did. I had it recorded, so I watched it.
What'd you think?
It was a fun show. It felt like a Grand Slam. It didn't feel like a collision. I liked the fact, Tony being the main event was a good call. I mean, it was the right call. So, yeah, I know there's a lot of hubbub about the ring size and everything else. I knew it was a little jarring at first, but the actual like in-ring stuff didn't bother me. It was just more like, why do we have these tiny stairs and why does everyone look so much taller when they stand next to the ring? But it didn't affect anything else.
I noticed it too. I mean, I'm not going to lie. It was the first thing I noticed when I was watching. I'm like, does this ring look smaller? Which is weird because it wasn't that much smaller that you should notice. No. But what also made it a little bit worse was I think they had Now, it could just be because of those 2 feet, but I don't think it is. I think they also had more space between the ring and the fans, like the ringside was bigger. So I think it took an already smaller ring and made it look smaller. Because there's no reason they couldn't have pushed them up further, and they didn't. Like, they kept them pretty far back. So, like, it definitely took a smaller ring. But I didn't care. Like, it doesn't matter at all.
Yeah, I noticed it right away. I'm like, oh, okay. And then that's weird. And then moved on. It wasn't anything that bothered me during the show. But
yeah, exactly. I didn't realize it was a thing until like a day or two later. I'm like, people are actually complaining. I noticed it, but I didn't care. Like,
no.
But now I want to see them wrestle in like a 3x3 ring and then like a 300x300 ring and just see what happens.
I mean, we watched people wrestle in the weird TNA wrestling ring before. So come on.
The six-headed ring?
Yeah.
I mean, you still remember it. It couldn't have been that bad of an idea.
It wasn't great.
I don't know, man. You still remember it.
Well, speaking of that news, is there any other, like, while we're on topic of headlines, are there anything else you want to talk about really quick?
Well, Ricky Starks is now officially Ricky Saint over in WWE. I think the name is stupid, but it won't matter. It's one of those things where, like, it's not stupid enough to cost him anything. Like, where, like, my fear was that if they gave him a name that just completely took away any of his vibe or his charisma, then I'd be like, oh, but Saints. I think the reason Saints is dumb is simply because it's so close to Starks. Like, I just, someone in the back room was like, all right, keep an S. Ricky Smalls, Ricky. And I was like, Saints, perfectly. And then I saw someone online say it looked like it should belong on Pornhub. And I'm like, Ricky Saints really does sound like it belongs on Pornhub. But that is what it is. I can't really complain. Any thoughts on that?
It feels like a very NXT name. Or like old school WWE type of name of, you know, Ricky Saints doesn't, I don't know, it sounds like a character more than a person. It sounds like he should be a part of some kind of, you know, D'Angelo family. I don't know. I mean, it'll probably grow on me, but yeah, so I'm surprised they didn't try Starks with a Z or Ricky Starks or.
Yeah, I mean, it again. I know they like to control their
yeah, big G. Even if it's Ricky Saints, like, it's just, I don't know what it is about the Saints. It just, I don't know.
It just sounds weird. Like, it just, and it's in my house, he's known as Ricky Stanks. Stanks would have actually been funny, but it just, again, I don't know why Saints of all the names. Terrible.
I appreciate the explanation he gave on Busted Open Radio about, you know, how it kind of helps to, you know, honor, recognize New Orleans. But hopefully that was the rationale.
Yeah, I mean, that's he named himself that. Well, so I was saying there's a clip on Busted Open why he named himself that. But doesn't fix it. Like, he had to pick a different name, and so he went with he's from New Orleans, and, you know, but it just, no. Nah. I mean, whatever, I don't care, it's not gonna hurt him. What could hurt him is if he stays in NXT too long, so I'm hoping right after Mania he goes right up, because, and we won't stay on WWE too long. I like NXT, has actually been a lot better. This NXT isn't, now maybe they'll turn it into it because they're doing a whole nother show, but this NXT isn't NXT 2.0 where they take guys from elsewhere and it's basically just like awesome. It really is focused on the young guys. So if a person who isn't needing to be developed stays there too long, I feel like it's bad news for them. Look at Duke Hudson. Like, he didn't need to be developed and they just did nothing with him. On the flip side, on people going to AEW, did you hear the news on that?
Tell me, I'll let you know.
Fightful Select believes that Josh Alexander will be heading to AEW.
Yes, I saw that headline. Yep.
Any thoughts on that?
Style-wise, it doesn't surprise me. But I am surprised knowing that he was with TNA, and TNA has such a close working relationship with WWE lately. Plus, he could have went to WWE and joined up with, you know, Ethan Page again. So that part kind of surprised me. But I think his style probably fits better with AEW.
Yeah. I don't think he or Ethan wants to be in a tag team. So I'm sure that's why they didn't go out for that. But I just feel like he's a really great wrestler. I got nothing against. I like him. This isn't a bad thing of more people like talented. They just got to make sure they use everyone they have. That's now. We'll talk a little bit about tonight. I appreciate if they start doing things like they did tonight, which is, hey, we're going to have a, you know, for number one contenders match for this belt. We're gonna, like, it gets other guys involved. You can tell multiple stories. You can, like, because Roddy lost with their story. But my biggest fear is just that you now have a lot of wrestlers there, and they really need to figure out how to, and they should be able to. I think with 4 hours of TV and ROH, if they ever figure that out, but 4 hours of TV, you should, in theory, be able to get all the guys they have a lot of room. They just, that's my biggest concern. Just make sure that he get, otherwise, or who sits if he's getting all the attention. Like, you know, when Stark, Miro, and Black left, I'm not upset if a guy leaves anyway, especially if I'm gonna see him wrestle somewhere else. It's not like I'm losing him, but like from a point of view, I was like, well, they're not using him anyway, and who do I want to see taken off TV for them? And there wasn't a ton, so it was like, all right, they'll go get used elsewhere. But it's like, just I just don't want him to sit on the sidelines, I guess, is my thought.
Yeah, I, you know, with ROH not being as, we always talked about if ROH could have a little bit more focus and be used like we hope it could be, that'd be good places for some of this talent. But with the reduction of shows, you know, not having Rampage, so you cut your time to, you know, Dynamite and Collision. Yeah, I think your concerns are warranted, because we've seen people kind of get hot initially and then kind of get lost in the shuffle.
Yeah.
But hopefully they can find things like when they come in, kind of like, you know, what Ricochet is doing right now. You know, has some storylines, has some feuds away from title pictures.
So there's two things. There's away from title picture feuds, which I think they need to do a lot more of those. And then there's what they did tonight with the title, which is what they did with the Hurt Syndicate tonight, which is they weren't on TV. Now, someone maybe facing them was briefly interviewed, but they themselves were not a focus of it. And I'm like, that's okay. Not everybody has to be on every episode. If you spread things out, it'll spread out stories. It'll keep more people involved. I hope they start leaning into that a bit more, because it's easy. I know it's easy in my head, because I don't have to pay these people and I don't have to answer to ratings or to TV execs, and I don't have to do it. But like, you have enough time, and you are literally a 52 week run. You know, there's no weeks off for you. I don't care how, you should be able to spread the, especially with the level of talent they have, spread it out over every show and not feel like we're seeing too much of someone or not enough. Like, shouldn't be that. I don't know. Just shouldn't be that tough, especially with all the belts they have now. Like, it just, you know, and we'll get into it tonight. They do seem to be revamping a couple divisions, so I'm hoping that sticks. But I think that's all the news I have, unless you have anything off the top of your head.
I don't think so. I think that kind of covers the top headlines.
All right, then why don't we take a quick break? I'll plug our shirts at the end of the show. As anyone who's listened to us over the years knows, we're part of the Shining Wizards Network. And there's a lot of great shows on the Shining Wizards Network, and we want to encourage you to listen to them. But I do a very good bad job of selling them, as you see when I try to sell our shirts. So instead, I let them sell themselves to you. So we'll be right back after you hear about these shows. So this is where I put on the commercial overlay. And then I hit the
We'd like to thank each and every one of you for tuning in every Monday night to listen to The Shining Wizards. If you'd like to continue to support us outside of listening, we've got a few ways for you to do that. If you shop at Amazon, go over to amazon.shiningwizards.com, do your shopping as usual, and when you make your purchase, a little bit of that purchase price will go back to support the show. If you like to wear t-shirts, merch.shiningwizards.com will take you to our Pro Wrestling Tees store, where we've got over a dozen great designs from over 11 years of professional wrestling podcasting. You can become a Patreon supporter at patreon.com/wizardspodcast, where each and every week we call out your name as one of our show producers, and the more you support us, the more things that you're entitled to receive, and believe me, they are fantastic. If you can't support us monetarily, if you don't shop at Amazon, that's absolutely fine. Continue to listen to us wherever you listen to us on the World Wide Web, and make sure you like, rate, review, subscribe, do all that good stuff. Doesn't cost you anything, helps us out, and we can continue to bring you the love fest that is The Shining Wizards.
What's up, folks? It's your boy, the Impact Player, Mr. Philly Ray, inviting all of you to check out the Turnbuckle Throwbacks Wrestling Podcast. Join us as we cover all things current in the world of pro wrestling, as well as paying homage to the old school, the squared circle. So listen in and find out why we are the recognized symbol of excellence in sports entertainment broadcasting. Find us on all social media platforms and anywhere you get your podcast from. And as always, we are the proudest members of the Shining Wizards Network and Rant Entertainment Media.
Are you tired of being lied to every day by the mainstream media?
Do you want to know what's really going on in the world?
Do you want to make up your own mind about things and not be told what to think or say?
Then listen to Inconclusive Breakdown, a weekly anti-PC look at the world of entertainment and current events brought to you without censorship or filters.
You can find us everywhere you listen to podcasts, BitChute, and on ShiningWizardsNetwork.com.
And also, we're a proud member of the Shining Wizards Network.
Got 30 minutes to kill?
Come check out 30 Screams or Less, where we review a horror movie in 30 minutes or less. We cover new movies and old ones, too.
We'll give our honest thoughts on the movie, good or shit, as well as a rating of each one that we watch.
New episodes weekly, available on the Shining Wizards Network and wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
I'm Steve.
And I'm Corey.
Come check us out at 30 Screams or Less.
G'day guys, my name is Thomas, one half of the Brocast podcast. With our podcast, we go back and watch wrestling events from WWE, WWF, WCW, ECW, AEW, and many other wrestling promotions. You can check us out on Twitter at The Brocast, that's THEBROKAST, and you can also download all episodes on Apple Podcasts, CastBox, Castro, and many other podcast apps.
You like your music heavy? Then check out Radioactive Metal on the Shining Wizards Network. For over 16 years now, Radioactive Metal has been one of the longest running podcasts. Over the years, we've interviewed some legendary metal acts, had some awesome discussions, and cranked a hell of a lot of tunes. So join your cool Uncle Snowy and his co-host Aaron for the audio mosh pit that is Radioactive Metal here on the Shining Wizards Network.
Well, the action is underway!
What's up, everyone? When on the Shining Wizards Network, be sure to check out Wrestling Night in Canada. If we're not recording another kick-ass podcast,
or playing in punk bands,
or recording kick-ass heavy metal albums,
then we're sitting back, we're grabbing a couple brews, and going over everything to do in the world of pro wrestling.
Because we're from Winnipeg, you idiots.
The Mark Order Podcast is the only show you need if you're looking for dedicated coverage of everything AEW on the Shining Wizards Network. Join us live on YouTube every Wednesday night at 10:15 p.m. Eastern after Dynamite to chat along with the show. If you can't join us live, listen to us on your favorite podcast platform. Follow us on all social channels at Mark Order Pod and use the hashtag #JoinTheMarkOrder. Because if you don't find us,
we will find you.
I'm Kevin Rogue.
I'm Al Day.
And we're a couple of down under pounders that co-host Rogue Day Dots, an action figure collecting podcast where we talk about, well, just about anything that tickles our fancy at any given moment.
We're grumpy old men, and sometimes people get on our nerves. And when you get on our nerves, guess what? You get off the lawn.
Get off my lawn, asshole! We also go on a little bit of a mission. We go back and we're grading every wrestling figure line that's out there. I'm talking LJNs. I'm talking Jacks. I'm talking Hasbros. Who doesn't like a little Hulkaplex? It's a Gorilla Brain Wrestling podcast production found on the Shining Wizards Network.
I'm Duke Bags.
Kevin Rogue.
And together we are the co-hosts of your Duke and Rogue. If you want to hear about some terrible wrestling shows, we got you covered.
Well, we talk about good ones, too.
We're currently talking about the death of WCW.
I know what we're fucking talking about! Sometimes we get guest spots, like from the Taskmaster. I like to listen to the Year of Duke and Rogue podcast. They're funny guys. I like when they talk about the Narch plows. I like Narch plows. That's a good move. And I like the Dungeon of Doom. You know, sometimes I call my butt the Dungeon of Doom. Thanks, guys.
Yeah, Oklahoma.
Let me tell you a little bit about my favorite wrestling podcast. All right. A podcast for two men, Duke Bags, Kevin Rowe. They talk about professional wrestling. It's a man's sport. All right? And who better to talk about a man's sport than Duke Bags? Oklahoma.
And once in a while, Vince Russo stops by.
Bro, you piece of shit! If you're not listening to the Year of Duke and Rowe podcast in the back with the boys, you piece of shit, I don't know what you're doing. You got a slight one in there. If you're a man, you're talking about something only a man can do. You're talking about slight one in there. Bro, take the time to slide one in there. All right, bro, you piece of shit. Slide one in there. A Gorilla Brain Wrestling podcast production that you can find on the Shining Wizards Network.
And we are back. Now, Joe, it's no longer going to be a surprise to you because I didn't realize you had seen them. But I will be – so now I got to figure out how to get them in here because I was holding off on these on purpose to not – I know that sounds – hi, Kylie. 2LT photo. 2LT is the actually – so 2LT took it upon himself to help – redesign our thumbnail game, I guess is the word I should say. And as part of that, he also took it upon himself, and this is a good thing. This isn't to provide us with some digital art, I should say. Now I'm just struggling to add an image. Like, isn't it just what?
I'm just along for the ride with the rest of us listening to you fumble over this.
I will. If I knew you had seen them, I would have had this done, but I didn't want you to see it before I had a chance to. Nope,
that's just me.
That's just me hiding my camera. I didn't want you to see them before I had a chance, and then why? I hate. Oh, whatever. I'll do it the old-fashioned way.
Yeah, there you go. You do the old screen share.
Yeah, I thought there was a way to just put them up here, and there is. But again,
So let me pull them up real quick on the.
Yes, thank you, 2LT, 1LT, whatever number LT you are today, for your artwork and your time. Ryan is
freaking out. That has nothing to do with the pictures. My computer's freaking out as I try to load these. But, you know what it is? All right, whatever. We'll do these one at a time because, they're not it either. Share screen. There you go. So the first would be a better thumbnail. And I appreciate this 1L, 2LT, so 3LT photo. I likely will be going with this because we need an upgrade on our thumbnail because it's just Join the Mark order that we've been using for 5 years now. And I think having the Dynamite post-show review in there is fun. Now, the interesting thing is, and I'm going to stop, is the pictures, the individual pictures. So we'll show Kate first because she's not here, so who cares? There you go. This is Kate. This is influencer Kate. So this is a version of Kate. So for everyone wondering why this is a little more filtered is the word I would use. This is influencer Kate because Kate believes herself to be an influencer now. So that's the least important of the three.
Yeah, I thought he captured the baseball stadium behind her. He captured Kate's bangs. So
I'm going to be honest. No, yours is my favorite, so I'll do mine next. I got to do these one at a time. All right, there you go. This is history me. Now, Big G's like a caricature of her. Yeah, I think that was what he was going for, to be quite honest with you. Because if you've looked at Big G, if you watch Sour Graps on Tuesday, 1LT did the logo for that as well. So he clearly has Kate down. I think he tries to give us different versions of her. This is history, Guy Ryan. I really appreciate this. I'm going to say I have one comment and one critique, but I understand why he couldn't do it. Do you know what the critique is?
The Phillies hat?
There you go. I like the hat.
The hat's good. I wouldn't ever see you wear that much color on a hat because you're such a plain Jane, earth tone, black and white guy.
Well, this is also, I tend to wear hats with like sports teams on them.
And usually backwards.
Yeah. But I can't complain because it's actually very well done. Yeah. And though I don't always have a beard, I always have some form of 5 o'clock shadow. So that works. The funny thing is it took me a while to realize that they were historical figures in the background and not just my characters.
They look like you're on the background of like Honus Wagner baseball cards. But yes.
So I actually really appreciate it. He nailed the shirt. The plain like gray shirt is.
You're wearing that right now, basically.
Yeah. I mean, don't get me wrong. I loved all three of these pictures. My critique is I also understand not putting a Phillies hat on a whatever because I couldn't use that because it would probably be an issue. So I get it. He actually was thinking of us using these. So I really like this. And then our last one. I really like all three of these, but this one was my favorite. I'm not going to lie. There you go. And there you go. And you eating breakfast is by far my favorite.
The more I look at it, I look like an Asian Bobby Hill.
And it makes me like it even more.
I'm like, I told him, I said, I'm so glad I've lost weight since whatever. It made me want to lose weight. So I feel like I've lost weight in my face since then. But the hair is spot on there. Yeah, I mean, it's a damn good caricature of me.
And again, that's what he was going for, and they're great. I love all three. I hope 2LT stayed in the chat, because 2LT, this, I meant to respond to tell you I was doing this, and then I was like, I'll wait. This is a surprise. I loved all these plus the new thumbnail. I was going to debut the thumbnail, not this week. But I thought I loved Joe's so much, because it just,
I like the, I think, look in my eyes. It's just very like,
I think it's the look in your eye. I think, well, first of all, three bowls of cereal is just cracking me up. And you look like almost like caught off guard.
That's fair.
Like what? Like you were eating and someone said something, you went, what?
Yeah, that
guy is, yeah. So good. Yeah. So 2LT, I really appreciate these. These are really good and funny in the right kind of way and very much appreciated. Yeah. You know, here it is talking about, you weren't here last week. That's right. Rob, who filled in for us excellently last week, does all the, whatchamacallit, all the back end stuff for Fightful. He does their thumbnails and all that. And I made a comment that ours are boring because I'm lazy and I'm not good at it, which is the truth. And he offered to just do them, do one for us, not them, but do one for us. And I was like, okay. I actually didn't even give him the go ahead. I just was like, you know, because I felt bad making someone do anything. Like, I'm not, I didn't doubt its work. I love the Sour Graps logo. I just feel bad making it. And then he delivered that, and I was like, yes, it says Dynamite on there. Like, I know that sounds stupid, but probably a little inside the NBA here, people notice Dynamite on there might actually look at a little bit like, this is what you're doing. So I'm very good. And then I saw the caricatures, and I was like, oh, these are perfect. This is exactly what I wanted. Yours, but yeah, I just love it. Oh, so good. All right, we can move on to bigger and better things. Well, that's not true, but still, we can move on to other things. So, did you like tonight's episode of Dynamite?
I have no complaints about Dynamite. I thought it was a solid show. It moved. The first hour really seemed to move for me. Probably right before the main event, it kind of got dragged down a little bit for me, but otherwise, yeah, I thought it was a solid show with a couple of good things I liked. We can talk about later, but what about you? What overall was your level of fun for this show?
I liked this show. I get what you're saying. There's a couple pacing things, but overall, I thought it was a very good show. There it had some really good moments, and then even its bad was good. I think, like, that's usually the sign to me of a good show, that like there wasn't anything on here where I'm like,
no,
this is bad, don't watch this. Like, all of it seemed good. We started off with a super hot segment, which was MJF and Hangman Adam Page in the ring. They can't hit each other, they can't touch each other. What was the stip? Why couldn't they? Do you remember what the threat was?
Gosh, I don't remember off the top of my head. If it was...
there was some kind of threat where they couldn't really do anything, or maybe just, I don't know. But it was, and I'm trying to recap some of what was said. MJF, don't move. You know, MJF kind of starts out with a typical MJF promo. It's 2019. I was about to win the first ever casino battle royal. You cheap shot at me, took my chance away from me. I had to earn my way back up. It was very, it wasn't bad. It was just very generic, but it was a good setup for what came. Like, it was laying the groundwork. Hangman got on the mic and then was just like, why are you talking about this? Like, I don't know you and know what you've done. And yeah, you're 28. You have a legacy. But then he implicated that, like, you can't get the fan approval, which seemed to really drive MJF mad. And then he yells, like, I don't get it. Everything's just given to you because the fans decided to love you. You drank a man's blood. You burned down a person's house. You hurt people. And yet you're loved, and that gives you all the opportunities. And then you retired Christopher Daniels. I almost said Christopher Angel. Right? And then they disappear.
I'm freak. Yeah.
Then you retire Christopher Daniels, and you know, and that's when MJF's lines there were great because it was very true, very. But then his setup to Hangman, where Hangman talked about Christopher Daniels and all he's done for the wrestling, and that if he could give him his own spine, he would, and how great Daniels was. And then Hangman kind of goes like, I don't know why they still love me, but they do. And I don't, you know, almost like he's like, I haven't taken that for granted. And then MJF spits in his face and they kind of try to brawl. I just thought this was a little, and I know I'm really bad at, I don't like recapping the entire promo, so I summarize poorly, but it was good from both guys. True, like it was good character development. You had MJF once again getting into the real of his issues, which is he can't get the crowd to love him. He wants the crowd to love him. That will always be at the heart of who MJF is that even though he always turns back to the heel move, he secretly wants to be loved. Like it's just what he wants. And how it drives him nuts that Hangman literally acts like the biggest bastard in the world and is just loved. Like that has to kill MJF. But now you're seeing the face turn for Hangman again, where he, but it's not unearned. He retired someone he respected. He retired a friend and it's driven him mad. And then he is loved. And I don't think he can understand it. Like, I think, so I just really appreciate that this was two very big character moments from each guy. What did you think?
Yeah, building off what you just said, I like the history lesson of their relationship going back to 19 and then talking about how he beat him in the Casino Battle Royal and then how MJF won for the ring against him. So I'd like that they have this history between them, and the MJF's character is still driven by this chip that he puts on his own shoulder of not being good enough or seeking approval or admiration from others. I think that's fun for a character development, and him pointing out all of Heyman's, you know, horrific aggressions that he committed. I think it's a fun way for Heyman to try to atone for everything he did in this kind of, you know, character arc of him going back to being a face. And Heyman kind of looking at himself and learning to love himself again, kind of like what Christopher Daniels wanted him to do, where MJF had a hard time. You know, he's seeking love from the fans while Adam, you know, Heyman was kind of trying to love himself. And I think that's an interesting, you know, dichotomy between the two characters. And then when Christopher Daniels comes out to help break up the fight and when telling, you know, hey, man, that's the man who he always thought he was. And that's, you know, now he knows that. I think that's it's interesting that his retirement match was kind of a catalyst to this change in Hangman.
I actually really like the way you went with that, like that Hangman is finding a way, like trying to love himself again, which, listen, you take out a laptop. But, you know, I really appreciate that. Whereas MJF's constant thing is that I can't get others to love me. I actually really appreciate that's a great point. It's very different. And I think it's the greatest thing they've ever done for MJF that he's consistently just wanted to be loved, but never said it. Like, he'll never flat out say, I want this. He just has made it readily apparent. And the time that he looked happiest was when the crowd was behind him. So, like, it's a very good... they've been consistent with his character in that way, and I really appreciate that. And Hangman, yeah, this is Hangman needs to love himself again and accept that why the fans like him, even though he's done some of the most evil things you can do. You know, great. So then we get a recap of Grand Slam. Roddy has a short little whatever about his match tonight, and Kyle O'Reilly says that, like, Orange is his boy, but Roddy is his guy, you know, or I love you, you know, whatever. It's fine. That was nothing. But we do have, I don't know if you call it the official debut, because they've wrestled together before, but it's the debut of the name, as far as I'm aware, of the Ops, PPS, of Hook, Shibata, and Samoa Joe versus the Patriarchy, Christian, Kip Sabian, and Nick Wayne. This was a fairly back and forth match. I actually really expected the Patriarchy to win with some shenanigans, some tomfoolery, but the Ops won with a red rum from Hook on Nick Wayne, which is very interesting that the two young guys were the finishing of the match. So two questions for you. One, obviously the big one, is what'd you think of the match? Two, I am viewing things like giving these three an actual team name and having, they've had more trios matches recently. They actually defended the titles recently. I am hoping upon hope that this is them actually investing in the trios division again. Do you agree with that or do you disagree? Enlighten me.
My heart hopes is you're right that they are, with all these, you know, branding of trios teams, whether it's the Patriarchy or Ops, or, you know, like now they have names attached to all these groups. It'd be nice. I'm a little concerned that they probably won't, but you know, someone has to step into that trios world now that, you know, the House of Black is no more. So you need another kind of, you know, face trio team of just badass people who beat people up. So I think the Ops work, even though I hate the name, but that's my own axe to grind. The match itself was about what I expected. I thought, you know, Kip Sabian would get whooped up on. I feel like he's kind of the guy who takes a lot of the beating. But I'm just kind of curious, like, how much longer they're going to do the Patriarchy and how much longer, you know, Nick Wayne going to keep, like, wanting to be the whipping boy and keep taking losses and keep sacrificing himself for Christian.
Yeah, I think that's the story they're eventually going to tell there. Is the Nick Wayne emancipates himself, even though he's obviously an adult at this point, but I would still phrase it that way, because he, that's the beauty of that story, is that one of two, actually no, it not necessarily, I rephrase, yeah, I'm thinking this through, and it depends on how long they drag it out, but there is a story where he betrays Christian Cage. Christian Cage turns face from it. Edge, well, Adam Copeland. And that's how you reunite Christian and Copeland for whatever run they have, because they should have a tag run at some point. I will also point out this Saturday night, we have a Trios Championship match featuring the Death Riders versus Garcia, Cool Hand Ange, and Daddy Magic. So this is now the second time in a row, not second, the second week in a row. One was on Dynamite, now is on Collision. Second week in a row, you have Trios being defended. I don't care that I know who's going to win. Trios are being defended. It's huge.
Well, maybe you're right. Maybe they are going to put an emphasis on tag team and trios wrestling.
Yeah. I know, but like, that is how you use up a lot more wrestlers. You put them in tags and you utilize tag divisions. You put them in trios. You can have trios matches. You can have singles matches with the trios guys. Like, there's a whole lot of stuff you can tell there that really eats up, puts everyone on TV, gets them all over. Just my humble opinion. We had a weird interview with Jericho. He was mad at Renee for the way she was asking questions. And he's like, why do people dislike me? I need to teach a lesson. And then he offers Bandido or shout out the RH championship on Collision. It just felt weird to me because it, like, it's not the way he's been handling the learning tree, so it just felt a little off. I don't know. Maybe you read it differently.
To be honest with you, I kind of zoned out. I knew that he was talking about Bandido, and I'm just kind of hoping that Bandido takes the title off of him. Because I think that'd be good for Bandido and be good for RH. But
yeah, I mean, that's fair. Why wouldn't you? What I hope you paid attention to was the Big Bill versus Powerhouse Hobbs match. It was a street fight. They were both in jeans. I love that. That is one of my favorite wrestling things, that when it's like a street fight, the guy comes out in jeans or other versions of a street clothes. Like, I don't know. I still think even if I was in a street fight, I would wear wrestling gear. Well, yeah, maybe I'd wear pants or something, but
you'd be packed. You just come out there in your gear.
Like, if you're willing to fight it in a cage, why would you, like, it's the most comfortable fighting gear. Now, I get jeans if that you're dealing with certain stuff could absorb some, like, scratches and all, but, like, I don't know. This was just a brawl, a fight. I think, did Hobbs get busted open at one point?
I mean, he had some crimson mask.
Yeah, because then it was on Big Bill's, like stomach, and it just looked funny to me. It looked like, I guess because of the tanner Big Bill used, it almost looked like he had syrup on him. What's his name? Bounty Hunter made himself known, but Powerhouse fought them both off. Would you call it a choke slam, or would you call it just a slam into the table with Bounty Hunter? Threw him through a table is, I guess, maybe the more accurate way to say it. He slammed Big Bill into a barbed wire table, and then he hit him with a well, he didn't slam him. He knocked him off into the barbed wire table. But the most interesting thing they did that I loved was they had a backpack, and they had Hobbs hit Big Bill with the backpack. And then when they opened it, it had broken bricks. And I'm just like, that's so great, because it's so, like, cheesy, and I love it. Powerhouse won and looked like a monster. Big Bill is still awesome. That's not a knock on him, but just Powerhouse really establishing a little bit of his monsterism. What do you think?
No, I loved it. It was a meatiest match you could have on a Dynamite with two guys in a street fight. Hobbs somehow looked even more intimidating than usual, just coming out there in his street clothes. I thought that they used regulation height steel steps the right way with using it as a weapon. So I'm glad that we have those back in America here. The only thing I had an issue with was, like, the finish was a little flat for me. Like, they beat the living hell out of each other, and then he kind of, like, choke slams him or drops him into the barbed wire table, and apparently Bill can't get up because his arm is tangled up in barbed wire.
I mean, it would be a reason not to get up.
Yeah, but, like, your feet can still get up. And you can, I don't know. I wasn't sold on him being, like, unable to stand up or get up because his arm is stuck.
That's true. Though you don't want to tear your arm out up with barbed wire. But I'm with you.
I'm interested to see what they do with Hobbs, though, because I feel like we've seen this before where they heat him up and then there's not a great plan for him, or he's unfortunately gotten hurt in the past. So I'm interested to see where he goes from here now that he's hopefully closed this chapter with Big Bill.
Yeah, like that's the thing. Like, they've done this with a couple times with a couple different guys where they've heated them up and then they've cooled down. What I like about this is they brought him in, they heated him up, he lost his match, but they immediately put him into something else that reheated him, but like kept him going. So if they can do that, he doesn't have to go for a title. As you're showing with Big Bill, you don't have to go for a title. You just have to be in something. There's a lot of guys that they can have a feud, you know. It doesn't always have to be a big guy versus a big guy. Like, he can have, you know, a match against anyone. So I'm with you. I don't want it to calm down, but we'll see. Quick interview with Brian Cage and Lance Archer saying they're going to call it the Hurt Syndicate. Actually love this.
Yeah,
that is a what?
I mean, what? It's cool that it's going to be like a big powerhouse match in a tag team battle. Like,
what?
They're losers. Lance Archer, they lose. They're for being big and tough as they are, they lose.
Yeah, but anyone facing Hurt Syndicate right now is going to lose.
I know. You're just like, I don't know.
I like it. I'm like, hey, you have these two monsters going against the Hurt Syndicate. It's the only team right now that we're sticking in universe. In universe, looks like they could beat the Hurt Syndicate based on size. Everyone else the Hurt Syndicate faces is going to be smaller. I mean, even anymore, Shelton Benjamin's not a small boy. Like, he's a big man. It's kind of funny. He's so athletic. You don't realize how big he is until he stands across and you're like, oh, you're a big dude. And of course, Bobby's Bobby. So, I mean, I'm interested, but okay, that's fair. You wanna hate, you can hate. Double or Nothing will be in Arizona, so that's not relevant to either of us. Toni Storm has her segment. She won in front of friends, family, former lovers. Says she's happy she beat her with a small package, but maybe Mariah should have worn protection because Toni beat her with the biggest, because Toni railed her with the biggest package there's ever been. And then she said she's in a movie, Queen of the Ring, and then she'll face, you know, she says a bunch of stuff and then like a bunch of funny, whether they're here for the chins up, their tits out, or if it's Christine Hinter to Willa Nightingale or to Wendy Richter. It was a very funny, good first whatever segment for Toni, where you didn't expect her to have an opponent immediately lined up. Any thoughts on this timeless promo?
No, I think it felt like her victory lap promo, you know, coming back with the title. Just bringing back the timeless character full go now. So, yeah, she's back. She has the title. All is right in the world. Now I'm just curious to see who that person will be to challenge her. I'm sure it'll probably be maybe something small and not like a long-term story. But also, what happens to Mariah now?
It's a very common wrestling story, but I don't hold on. Before I get into that, Big G with the line, the slut you can't rebut, was something that Toni said, and I really did enjoy that. The tramp, who is your champ? But it's a very common wrestling story, but it does work, where Mariah was kind of arrogant. She was thinking, you know, she wasn't taking anyone seriously. She thought she had defeated everyone. This is where she comes back meaner. Like, it's kind of like reverse Rocky, as if Clubber Lang had lost the first time and then came back. Where, like, he comes back even more vicious. Because that's, she can't come back a face. She comes back more vicious, taking people a little bit more seriously. She's so good. It could be a really fun run where she goes out to prove, like, I am better than everyone. At least that's my opinion. I don't know if you've, I just think that's the natural story.
Yeah, I don't mind that. And I almost like maybe have a storyline where she, you know, goes back to Japan, whether she does or doesn't, you know, and recapture some of that, like, you know, hunger that she had to get to where she is today to help fuel her now that she doesn't have a title anymore.
Well, that's where I think you could have her. I don't want to have her go crazy because that is too common a trope.
No.
But you can have a thing where you see her, like they do a vignette or something, where she is so clearly mad and distraught or upset that she lost her title. And she doesn't lose her mind, but you could just see that it's different. And the way it's different is she's just much more serious, much more violent. Violent not in like the barbed wire type way, just more like back in ring. Like
aggressive, just hard-hitting.
Yeah, aggressive is a better word. So that's my hope. Because that would keep it unique to Mariah in the sense of like they wouldn't take what Mariah is away from her. If they go the other route, it's very common. We've seen that done with, I mean, that's what started Timeless Toni Storm. Like, that's, you've seen that cut so many times where a heel champ loses and they go insane. I don't like that, but that's just my, so then we get a thing that Gabe Kidd is coming to Collision this week. Cool. I don't know why, but cool. I like Gabe Kidd. That's not a knock. I want to see what they're doing with him first before I don't think, see, Big G gets it. She has to get back the Eye of the Tiger. But yeah, I want to see, but obviously Gabe Kidd isn't signed or anything. I'm just curious what they're doing with him. Like, what's the, why are they bringing over an NJPW guy? Willow's about to be interviewed by Renee, and Willow's like, hey, I'm giving an interview, and Marina comes over, and then she attacks me. And then that happens again. And I'm just like, I'm just, part of me is like, why is anyone here walking around unarmed? You know what's gonna happen. Like, they're like, if you're talking, just have a bat in your hand or something. So when she runs up, you swing it. Because what turned the tide was that Marina had the briefcase and hit her with it. So, like, whatever. But what was really cool here is that Mox grabs the camera that was interviewing Willow and walks it out, which then walks out to the entrance ramp, which is a cool shot. And they come down the ring where Mox then calls out Copeland and trashes him. But then Switchblade responds and Pac walks out behind him. But then, oh my God, Adam Copeland's here. And they have a big fight. Copeland and Copeland gets out Spike, which he'll never use. Could you imagine if they had him use it one time?
I mean, if he uses it, it'll be on an inanimate object like the briefcase.
No, but Spike has all those nails on there.
Right.
So my thing is, what if... Hold on. I have a theory here, but I'm developing it, so I'm going to answer Scott's question while I do it. Willow is being disrespected in the sense that they're setting up a feud with her and Marina, and she is the best baby face to help keep to make Marina heal, because Marina is getting over as a baby face in this feud in the Death Riders. People love her. So
I'm just glad they're giving Marina someone to like attack,
actually fight. Yeah.
Otherwise, she hadn't been doing much other than carrying a briefcase and helping usher John out of trouble.
I agree, but what I think you do is, I think what they're doing is, like, they know that Marina, like, the moment she picked up Renee, like, all that stuff, she's getting over as a face almost. So you choose the big, so if you wanted her to stay heel, you choose the biggest baby face for her to feud with, and that's Willow. I mean, no one's choosing anyone over Willow. But what you do with Spike is you have someone, and they have to be wearing like a shirt or something, because they're gonna have a pad. And you have fake, obviously not real nails. They have to be so that if there's a miss, and he swings the pad and it swings the spike and it hits the pad, but it looks like it goes into the person's back. That's why they'd probably get in a lot of trouble for that, but I think it'd be funny.
I'm just waiting for someone to come combat Spike with a bigger board with a bigger nail.
Or a hammer. I have a hammer for all your nails. Big G, they will have to uncuff the briefcase from her hand if she has a match. If it's sanctioned. If it's not sanctioned. After that, do you have any thoughts on the brawl or anything?
No, I like the Blade Runner into the spear. I thought that was a fun little combo between Jay White and Copeland.
Yeah, I don't.
It's still a weird pairing. But, you know, I'm liking Jay White in this a lot more than I do Copeland.
Yeah. Yeah. I just like the Jay White staying in the main event. Then we have Renee do a quick interview with Mercedes that Momo Watanabe challenges Mercedes to an AEW TBS championship at Revolution. Your Simpsons reference was appreciated by Big G. I got distracted and missed it, and I'm very mad at myself.
The Treehouse of Horrors with the aliens.
Oh, we're talking about the nail thing. Man, I already forgot it, and I did catch it when you said it.
Yeah.
Because because it was the Monkey Paw episode. I know. Yeah. And I wasn't. I thought there was another one that I missed. And I was very upset that I missed it. Because you see at the end of that episode, Mo chasing the one of Kang Arcota's off with the nail on the board. So, yes, I remember. I don't know much about Momo, so I really have no thoughts on this.
I don't either. I think it'll just be a fun matchup. I mean, she's not going to win the TBS title, but it's a good. I think it's kind of a good pacing to every now and then have the kind of like one-off matches with Mercedes, where they aren't storyline driven. So I'm okay with it.
Yeah, that's fair. I just don't know a lot about her, so I'm not against it. I'm very excited to see what happens because anyone who comes from over from Japan usually puts on a banger match. I just don't know a lot yet, so I want to see that play out. We then move into a women's match of Chris Statlander versus Megan Bain. So just the powerhouses of the women's division going at it. And it was that type of match where they were trying to like, they started out by like circling each other, which was pretty funny. But it was kind of a match to like show who's tougher, who's stronger, who's better. And it was back and forth. There was a standing moonsault, I think, by, was it Chris Statlander that did that maybe? I'm blanking. I remember marking it down. I had it written down. I don't remember who did it. I just said standing moonsault because I always think those are cool. This ends, though, with Penelope Ford interfering, stopping Statlander from landing a move on Megan Bain, and then Megan Bain finishing off Statlander with the fireman's carry. Well, fireman's carry into the F5. After the match, Ford jumps Chris Statlander. Bain is kind of doing her thing again. But then Thunder Rosa comes out with a steel chair, and Penelope kind of gets in the way, being like, don't attack her. So, two things. Really good match. I thought this was an excellent match. I like that this was kind of like what you would expect from the bruisers of your division. I got the ending. It protects Statlander and sets up a rematch. And I don't always mind this type of ending, so I'm going to let it go this time. Like what they're doing with Megan Bain. And I like what they're doing with Penelope Ford to Megan Bain. So go, Joe, go.
Yeah, I don't know what the equivalent is to, you know, a men's meat match. But, I mean, this was the equivalent because... Excuse me, from the Hobbs Big Bill match, you had the Megan Bain Chris Statlander match. I mean, it was fun to watch, like you said, when they were circling each other, it kind of was like two wolves, like circling each other, one the same piece of like meat in the middle. And they were just trying to figure out who's going to jump first. And then it was just a bob back and forth and one trying to one up each other. You talked about the standing, was it standing moonsault, you said?
Yeah, I can't remember which one did it, but yeah.
I like Megan Bain's, her deadlift German suplex she did on Statlander to show off her strength. I think then Bain got dumped on the edge of the apron and pretty much, no-sold it and popped back up. So, yeah, that was a lot of fun. I like the fact they're involving Thunder Rosa and Penelope in this as well, just to get more women on TV and more involved. Thunder Rosa's was the least threatening with a chair I've ever seen someone, though. It was very awkward.
Well, yeah, because it was very obvious she wasn't supposed to attack them. Like, supposed to actually land with the chair, but I think... there was a timing issue. I think Megan and Penelope were supposed to back off well before they did, and they didn't. And then so Rose is in the ring with the chair, and it's like, what do I do? And I don't want to blame anyone. That felt like a Penelope and Megan not being as responsive to it.
Yeah, it's just a timing issue. You see someone come down with a chair, they're either going to do one of those like big swing and misses, and then the heels like duck out and run away. I feel like that's usually the spot.
I think that's what was supposed to, something similar. But Well, you know, who are we?
We'll have a good little tag match here coming up between.
But though the tag match doesn't make sense because Penelope's already lost to each of them, so like she's not on their level in within the story. Renee interviews Max Caster.
I'm still waiting for like Bowen to answer the open.
I think that's what they're building to. Yeah. But I get what they're doing. They didn't want to have eventually. What'd you say?
They have to have him win eventually, though. They have to have Caster win a match here and there, right? You want him to keep losing?
I don't know if I want, but they don't have to have him win. I think the thing is that it's gonna, like you said, it's gonna be Bowens. But I think they were waiting. Like if you did it the first time, it's too obvious. Now you've done a couple. We have Ricochet come out wearing Jimmy Rave's robe. He talks trash on a local town. Blah blah blah. Does his usual thing. Prince Nana comes out. Just Prince Nana to Swerve's music, and says what the robe means to him and how it affects him, and asks Ricochet nicely for it. And Ricochet, if you want the robe back, you should take it. And then Ricochet asks, like, are you going to cry? And then he does his thing he does, and he goes to break. I thought this was a great segment. Your thoughts?
The promo picked up. I thought initially Ricochet promo was like copy-paste, typical heel promo, right? Like you said, trash the city, make a sports reference. Nana, his approach to this was different. Being that the robe is so personal to him, I would feel like I'd be a little bit more angry and not so diplomatic. And also the fact that this guy held you captive with a pair of scissors to your throat. I wouldn't be so nice to him and call him friend and buddy and guy, but you know, maybe he tried to lure him into a false sense of weakness. But that's a weird, to me, that's just an interesting approach from Nana to go in there and try to be, you know, calm and collective, cool and collective with Ricochet.
I get what you're saying. To me, it's the approach of someone who knows they can't beat the guy up, but they really want the thing. So he really wants the robe back, but he knows he can't actually hurt Ricochet. That's just my... If he could hurt him, he probably would be doing it differently. He can't. Yeah. So, you know, he comes in like... You know, please, you know, it's, I get what you're saying, but I think they're doing it based on the fact that he's the weaker party.
Sure. I just want him to give Nana the robe, give him the robe back in pieces cut up in like an envelope or a box.
Yeah. The fake. Give him pieces of gold and blue. They're like, oh no. Then we go to our main event. Orange Cassidy versus Roderick Strong. Versus Roderick Strong for the AEW International Championship number one contenders match, which I didn't know this is what it was for until literally the match was starting. I don't remember that being announced previously. Listen, these two have wrestled before. They're very good. Roddy is an incredible wrestler. You get the typical Cassidy spots, which I don't mind. They're always fun. A lot of back and forth. There was a great moment with Kyle O'Reilly on the outside where he kind of did the side eye and then Orange pretended that he didn't see Adam Cole. You know, it's, I'm trying to think if there was anything. It's just a really good match. And the problem is like, okay, so they announced it on Grand Slam Collision, Big G saying, I missed that. That's my fault. It's not that there wasn't any good moments. I'm just struggling. Like, that's just my thing.
No, I get it. Cause you've seen the match before between them, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
And being the main event, I was more curious, like, what's going to happen? What's the outcome going to be like? Who's going to win? What kind of shenanigans might happen after the match since it's the main event? to set things up further. So I was interested in that part more than the actual match itself.
Yeah, that was so. You nailed it. That was my thinking is that we've seen it. I did not think Roddy was going to win because it's Roger Strong. So that's a story to tell, but I think it's too early to break up the Undisputed Kingdom. So like, you don't want to tell the jealousy story yet. So I just was kind of like, it was a very good match, and I'm okay having matches for matches. And this wasn't a match for a match sake. There was stakes on the line, but like you, I was kind of just waiting what was going to be the end of it. So that's where my mind was. Orange Cassidy did win with the Orange Punch. Again, I would say go watch the match. It was very good. I just don't have, you know, you have two really good. Kate would probably name her six favorite holds or something, but that's just not how I watch it. You have two very good wrestlers. When Orange wrestles a smaller guy, he's not out of the match as much. Like when he wrestles a bigger guy, it's constantly him coming back, trying to figure it out. When he wrestles someone like Roddy, he has moments of control. He has moments where he's leading the way. So that's the only difference. After the match, Tony Schiavone comes in to interview Orange, but before he can talk, the Callis family comes out, and you have Don Callis, and you have Takeshita, and you have, what the hell is his name? What is his name? Oh, Davis.
Mark Davis.
Mark Davis come out, and they start beating up on Orange Cassidy, who just had a match. At one point, Callis delivered a kick, and it was one of the worst looking kicks I've ever seen. But then you hear Kenny's music. So Kenny comes out. He fights through. It's still close. But then Orange Cassidy gets rid of Davis, hits a Slumdog Millionaire on Stundog Millionaire on Takeshita, followed up by the Vig trigger and then Orange punch on him. And then that's the end of it. I mean, it was good. Orange is now going to wrestle Kenny at some point, probably. I just don't know why, but I just know that seems to be how they've been doing these things. But Orange is going to wrestle Takeshita for the title, but I just have a feeling Orange and Kenny are going to wrestle again, and I don't know why. What did you think of the beatdown?
I was interested to see Mark Davis be all in on, you know, doing the Don Callis family business. You know, in the past couple of weeks, he's been kind of, you know, hesitant, right? He's been having to like get told to like get into it by, you know, Lance Archer or Brian Cage or whoever. So I'm just trying to see him so gung-ho this time. Orange, I was interested to see him back after the Death Rider stuff, back in his all, you know, white denim, blue Canadian tuxedo, and him being a little bit more jokey and fun throughout this match, and like he used to be. So that's interesting to go back to that character again. Post-match with Takeshita and that, I have a feeling if we're going to get a triple threat match between him and Kenny and Takeshita.
I guess maybe that's what to me, you don't have Orange and Kenny have a moment. Now, I know there's a possibility they team up, but still, you don't have them have a moment and then not follow up in some way that they have to wrestle. That's, I guess, where my head is. Like, yes, I know Takeshita has the title, not two Orange is going against, but it still feels like something's going to happen there.
I don't feel like you just have Orange win this match and then go and have him lose to Takeshita and then not, like, and then that's it. Can that be weird?
Yeah, I mean, to me, I think this exemplifies the problem with the Death Rider story. There was no ramifications for Orange Cassidy. His character comes out the same as it went in. He could have had I don't want to say major, but he could have had a nice character arc there that I don't think he ever really had. He started to, and then it just fizzled out. But yeah, I don't know. I liked the match, and I'm excited for Orange versus Takeshita, and I'm excited for whoever wins that versus Kenny. So, like you said, it could be a triple threat. I don't know. But that's our dynamite. Overall, both of us enjoyed the show. You thought there was a little bit weird pacing, but, you know, I get it. You're a hater. Yeah, sure.
I'll be interested if they do some more follow up on storylines on Collision from, you know, Grand Slam fallout. Like, you know, what happened to Mariah? What happened to Harley Cameron? What happened, you know, to some of the other people who we didn't see or hear from tonight?
That's fair. Yeah, Carly Cameron had a moment at Grand Slam, and deservingly so. Big G thinks the whole point is to get Takeshita win before he drops the title to Kenny. I mean, there is that. Because it would be a big win, because it'd be orange. You know, it's not like beating, for better or worse, it's not like beating Roddy. It's beating Orange, the guy who's had this title, the guy who defined this title.
Yeah, that's true.
So we'll see. All right, so that wraps up our show tonight. I know it's a little, well, it's not that quick, but quickish. Joe, when you're not here, where can you be found?
You can find me on various social medias at _AsianJoe. And I will eventually have a serial review again. I still have a friend serial to do. And you can find the link to that serial blog in my bio on my social media. And I will hopefully look like the caricature that 2LT photo drew of me.
Well, you know, just make sure when you're eating, you're careful, because no one told you that it's going to be that way. Job's a joke. When I'm not here, you can follow me on all our socials at MarkWorderPod. You can also follow my history blog, HereForHistory.com, at _HereForHistory on Twitter, at HereForHistory on other socials. But if you want to support the show, please like, subscribe, do all that fun stuff. You can also go to our Pro Wrestling Tee store and buy one of our 4 t-shirts. All of them are available, and should buy all 4. You should buy 4 or 4. You should buy 4 or 4 or 4. Logo on front, words on front, words on front, logo on back, logo, words on front pocket with something on the back. That's how I describe the shirts. That's forever how I'm going to describe the shirts. You should go and buy all 4, you know, so you have something for, you should buy 7 shirts. So buy 7, 1 for every day of the week. But what if you have to get changed? Buy 14. That way you'd have a change during the day if you need it.
No, Ryan, I'm going to be honest with you. I like your description of the shirts better than when Kate does it.
Oh, thank you. It's quick and to the point. If you want to know what it is, logo on front, words on front, words on front, logo on back, pocket logo with words with logo on back. You know what I'm describing right away. But with that, I'm going to say thanks to the chat, Big G, Scott, Kylie, 2LT. 2LT, thank you for the thumbnail and the other pictures. I loved them, especially Joe's. I'll forever say, especially, I really liked mine. That's not a knock on the others. It's the facial expression of Joe coming, like the eyes. You're right. It's the eyes. Like, you like seem surprised. Thanks for checking us out, Lord Kev, Fernando, Taylor Cannon. Thank you all. With that, you're going to hear me go media asset, you know, outro overlay, and
this concludes the Mark Order Podcast. We now return you to your regularly scheduled programming.